Good morning. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. It's the best thing that ever happened to me, and that's the true statement. The best thing that's ever happened to me is the Lord saved me and gave me the power to resist temptation and resist sin. I thank the Lord for that. Today, the Lord has been dealing with me for some time about this message along this line. And sometimes the Lord gives you something that's just kind of it kind of wants it to soak in, and you get it. The scripture says in one place, it says the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit.
Yes.
And so sometimes the Lord just kind of wants it to saute or marinate. That's the word. Kind of marinate and get into the recesses of my heart. And it's one of those things that I need, talking about long suffering.
Yeah.
So scripture talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the fruits of the Spirit, and I say when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's not just necessarily, oh, this love, joy, peace. I believe we can look at it like that as well, but it's just one fruit, and it should come out, and it should be a fruit that is ripened, and a fruit that is developing, and a fruit that is good. All right. So now I want to say this because we're talking about long suffering. I want to say this statement. There is a little bit of something wrong with all of us. All right.
Yeah.
If it wasn't, there would be no need for long suffering.
Right.
All right. Now, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about there's just a little bit of something that we all have that's just a defect as a result of sin. We were all born with a debilitating disease, and that was sin. We were born in sin. And the only way to overcome it is by a blood transfusion.
Yes.
And is by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
All right. But still, even after you go through a person that gets sick, after they go through a process and get sick, there are still some things that they have to recover from in the process. You understand what I'm saying? So you've been sick, and well, I feel much better. I remember when COVID came out and everybody was sick. But afterwards, there were some things that needed to be healed even after you were healed of the COVID. One of the things that my wife had was she couldn't smell or she couldn't taste very well. I didn't have any side effects of that. It seems like once I got over it, then I was over it and everything was back to normal. But there are other people that have what we call long COVID, right? So they're having symptoms and issues and problems that are still a result of that. So what I'm talking about when I say long suffering, and when I talk about there's a little bit of something, a little bit of defect in our character, a little bit of something that we all have that we need the Lord to give us victory over, right?
Yes.
Now, we agree with that?
Yes.
Now, I want you for a moment to think in your mind, what is it about you? I want you to answer the question, but I don't want you to answer it out loud. I want you to answer it in your mind. All right. What is it about you that you don't like and you wish you could change, but you struggle with it for years? All right. Now we say, well, you know what? We didn't struggle with sin, so why are we struggling with these other things these things about us? Why are we struggling with these things about us? Well, I heard one minister say, and I've shared it with you before. One minister say, Brother Chandler, I heard him on a message say, you know, if we got over every single thing that we had an issue and we got over it just like that, then we would be so short with people that are struggling with issues of their own.
Yes.
So the Lord makes us struggle.
Yes.
He allows us to struggle. Now, do we get victory over it? Yes, we get victory over it. Maybe eventually, maybe we get a level of victory. And I'm not talking about, again, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about things about us. We get a level of victory over it and we're getting better at it. But one of the things I want us to understand is we're long-suffering with ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah.
I've been putting up with that. So let's talk for a moment about some of the things that we, you know, some people have anger issues, right? Okay, now God tells us to be angry and sin not. So there is a part of it, but then anger is a natural phenomenon of the human race, right? And we are to get angry. There are some things that we need to be angry about. One of the things that we need to be angry about is we need to be angry against the devil and what he's doing. and what he's done to us and how he's affecting the world, and so that we fight against him with everything that we have. So that's one of the issues. Some people are, just help me out. What, I don't want you to necessarily name something that somebody else has, not something you have, because
it's
patience. Okay, impatience. Okay, impatience is one. What's another one? Unforgiveness.
Selfish.
Okay, unforgiveness. Okay, selfishness.
What about the tongue?
Selfish. Okay, tongue. Can't control their words. They're quick. Holding grudges. Some of these things are not issues for me. Some of them are. I can tell you which ones are, and I've shared with you some of the things, but some of these are not issues with me, but some of them are issues with people that are here. Some people procrastinate, right?
Personality defects.
Personality, something about their personality. There are some people, I've been in the ministry for 36 years or so, and there are some people, I'll have just share this with you, there are some people that our personalities don't mix. They really don't. It's not necessarily that they're wrong and I'm right. It's just that there's something about the relationship. And I want to read a scripture because I'm going on into it. But I want to read. Let's turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse. Let's read that before we go any further. But I'd like for us to get into our minds what this is all about and kind of give us a foundation here. 5 and verse 22.
But the fruit of the
Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There is no law anywhere against these things, right? Even in the natural sense. Somebody's saying, well, we can't forgive somebody. We can't be long-suffering. We can't be meek. There's no law on the books of Congress that says that we can't do these things, right? All right?
Yes.
Against such, there is no law.
And they that are
Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying another. So it tells us what we are to do and what we're not to do here in the context. Now, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace. Those are wonderful things, and those are things that all of us want, right? But when we come to long suffering, you know, a long suffering in essence means, it means just what it says, that you're suffering long. You're putting up with something that is grinding and going against the grain for you, and you're having to put up with it, and you're doing it in sweetness and in meekness and in love and with peace and with joy, and you're doing all of these things, right? You're doing it. You're putting up with it. There is not a person here that has not put up with somebody doing something against them that they did not enjoy. All right? And you want it to respond in some kind of a way with one, because you have one of these defects, and maybe some of the things that you're dealing with is some of the things that you're having to deal with is a result of you doing something, right? See, there's something about us. One of the things that is about us is none of us have ever really seen our face. All right? We've only seen reflections of it. All right? We've seen our bodies in various ways, but there are parts of us that we cannot see that other people can see. There are parts of us that we only can look at when we stand in front of a mirror and the light reflects off of that glass, that smooth surface, and it brings to our eyes what we see is ourselves, but it may not necessarily be what other people see. All right? Because I can't see me. I've never seen my face. I've only seen reflections, pictures, all of those kind of things. We tend to not see things about our character either until it's reflected off of somebody else and what somebody else is doing.
Right.
And whatever it is, it reflects off of it. It bounces back to us. And somebody says, well, this is how anybody ever said this to you, or you said it to somebody. Well, you're like this, however that is. And it makes you upset. It makes you angry. Right? But is there a level of truth to it?
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about long suffering. There's a level of truth to it. Now, what we're to say, you got to be careful how you say it, right? And I'll tell you how to be married. And Brother Randall, you've been married. Look, there are those that have been married maybe longer than I have. But let me tell you how to do it. When that reflection comes back on you, rather than you throwing it back at them, what do? You have to go introspect, and you have to say, there is some level of truth to how I look. This must be how I look. To them, it's how I look anyway. Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Why do you look in the mirror in the first place? Really? You looked in the mirror this morning. Do you realize that we're all... As the Lord was bringing this message to my mind, is that I look in the same mirror all the time. 90% of the time that I see myself in the mirror right above the vanity in our bathroom bath, right? I've seen it in other, but it's the same light. It's under basically the same conditions. And it's the same way that I look at myself all the time. So I may look this way. And then have you ever seen a picture of yourself and you say, I look like that? That's really what I look like? You know why we say that? Because I see myself in the mirror. I see myself here in this little spot with this kind of a light that's coming in. And that's what I'm looking at every time. And so to me, that's what I look like. And then when the light doesn't quite shine the way that it needs to, and it's a little dark, and especially me with the tone of my skin, I'm in dark pictures all the time. Don't let there be a white wall behind me. All you can see is my eyes and teeth. But we understand that this is us, whether we like it or not. And we just have to, what do we say? We just say, well, I have to put up with this. That's me. But why do we look in the mirror? We look in the mirror to work on ourselves.
Correct.
True?
Yes.
Almost every time we look in the mirror, it is to work on ourselves. It is to correct something about ourselves, or to make certain that the things that we see about ourselves are correct. All right. So in the same way, the Lord lets these things flash off of us, off of other people, onto us so that we can work on ourselves. The scripture says that. James, I'll go to a scripture in James, the first chapter, 22nd verse, James 1, verse 22. Read it, please, if you have it.
James 1,
yes.
22. But be ye doers of the word.
Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So when you hear something, you got to do it, right? Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Who are you deceiving?
Deceiving your own self.
Do you know most people know what you're like? And you can say what you are all you want to, but you're not deceiving anybody but you. Have you ever said, they ain't fooling nobody but themselves? Have you ever said that?
Yeah.
There's a truth to that. They're fooling themselves, all right? Read.
Yeah. For if any
be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, then what did he do? He looks at himself, then he goes away. That's what we do every day. We beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. You forget what you look like. Have you ever gone out and you had your hair all done, women in particular? I don't have that problem. You go out and then it's windy, and then you looked good when you walked out of the house, and then the wind started blowing your hair all around, and then all of a sudden you just look a mess. Like they say nowadays, a hot mess. And you still thinking you're cute from that still picture that you saw when you walked out, but now you're not. Somebody say, and women do this. I see them do it all the time. They'll come up and they'll just kind of do your hair like this and try to get you back together, because they understand. They feel you, right? And so we'll let them do it. Girl, what do I look like? Y'all say that kind of stuff. I've heard you say it many times. All right. And it's okay. And that's okay, because if you've got something wrong with you that you can't see, it is our duty of those that love you to tell you about, straighten up your things. I've had people, when I preach, my collar tends to do like this, and my wife is always, and others are always telling me, keep your collar up. Anyway, and I want them to do that. I'm thinking I look like I did when I looked in the mirror, and I don't. All right, now let's go a little further. For if ye be a hearers of the word and not doers, he is like unto a man beholding him his natural face in the glass, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of what? Of the work. So there's going to take some work. Now you hear how he said at the beginning, he says, be ye doers of the word.
Yes.
All right. Doers of the word. What you hear, what you understand, you do that. And then what does he say down here? But be doers of the work that it's going to take for you to correct whatever mistakes that there are, whatever's wrong with you that you see when you look in the mirror. There are going to be some things about you that I need to comb my hair. I need to shave. I need to do some things. And when I'm seeing that's in the mirror, there's something about me that's not correct. It's not right. It's one of those things that I see and it's being reflected off of me. Now I've got work to do.
Yeah.
All right. That's my job.
Yeah.
And that's what God intends for me to do, is to make certain that I am a doer of the work. And while I'm working on it, I'm saying, Lord, you know, I'll tell you one that I'll tell you, I got more than one. My wife could probably give a catalog of issues that are wrong with me. But one, I am not a very patient person. I'm much better than I was. Much better than I was. But I have an infirmity about patience. If we start, and I say this, you've heard me say it. Probably the reason it's taken us 2.5 years to get this project done is because the Lord is dealing with me and my patience. And it's true. And so sometimes I have to just say, I have to say this to myself. This is doers of the work. I have to say this to myself. I have to say, go somewhere and sit down and don't move. Just wait until it happens. You're just the Lord. And I'm much better than I was. I believe my wife can attest to that. But still got a ways to go. Some people, it seemed like it take them forever to do something. I thought, oh Lord, that would get on my nerves. I wouldn't be able to do that. And then sometimes I have to just sit and smile. I have to smile when on the inside and say, oh Lord, you just got to help me. You have to help me. Are y'all laughing? You know why you're laughing? Because you know what I'm talking about. You know it's truth to it. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Okay, so now, I know you know what I'm talking about. So it says, so he be a doer of the work. Work, not the word this time, but doer of the work. And then when you see something wrong with you in the mirror, what do? You don't just walk out, that looks okay. And is something wrong? No, you take care of it. You take care of it while you see it. Because there's going to be a time that you don't see it. There's going to be a time that you walk away from there and you're not going to see it. All right, let's go a little further here. All right, now, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, no one likes undeveloped fruit.
Right.
No one's going to pick a green apple or orange off the tree and eat it and enjoy it. No one is going to do that, right? Well, we can make some dinners with it and some, green onion, green tomatoes is really good, all right? But what do you do with green tomatoes? You just bite into it and eat it like that? No, you put a lot of little stuff on it in order and fry it and all that kind of stuff. But put a lot of seasonings on. Okay, so green tomatoes are good. But if I was going to put it in a salad and I was just going to pluck it off the tree and just eat it like that, pluck it off the vine and just eat like that, that's not going to happen, is it?
Right.
It's not going to happen. So here's the essence of what we're talking about. 90% of the things that we partake of, we want them to be developed. We want them to be ripe. We want the fruit, when we're talking about that. We want them to be good. And by the way, tomato is a fruit.
Yeah.
Somebody said, somebody told me something one time that, well, I thought it was a vegetable, but we have enough wisdom not to put it in a fruit salad. It's not going to be, just because it's a fruit doesn't mean you put it in a fruit salad, right? Want to make certain you're going to ruin a fruit salad? Put a tomato in it. A regular salad? Put a tomato in it, and it enhances it in some kind of way, doesn't it? Lord help us. Okay, so when we talk about the fruit of love, joy, peace, I'm going to skip long suffering because that's what we're talking about here: gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we talk about those kinds of fruit, have you realized that long-suffering really enhances every one of them?
Yes.
There's something about it that makes all the other ones better. All right? So when we talk about love, you know, Scripture says in one place, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it talks about charity does what? suffers long and is kind while it's suffering. So there's something about it that if you're going to have the love, part of love, part of what love is suffering. God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus loved us so much that he died and gave his life for it, for us. All right. So so when we talk about the love, we talk about love. There is something about suffering that enhances love, that enhances joy. You don't really appreciate joy like you should until you've had some sorrow.
Right.
You had to put up with something. All right. And in the same way with all the other ones, peace. I know the people over there in Ukraine, if the Lord ever gives peace to them, I know that they're going to appreciate peace a lot more than we do. You know why? Because we've all had it. We've never had war on our neighbor's house being burned and bombed and all that. We've never had that. We've never experienced it. So we appreciate peace. Yes, we do, but not like they will when they've gone through it. And these war-torn places, when they've had to endure and put up and suffer for a long time, peace is so beautiful. All right. Okay. So, question is, what does your fruit look like? The sooner we acknowledge that there's something wrong with us, that there's an issue that we have, the better off we're going to be. And the more that we're clear that some of these things that we're talking about here, the things that we're dealing with in our own issues, the sooner we realize that I have that. And I want you to hold in your mind that thing, whatever that thing is in your head, that you your defect that you wish you could change, and it has affected others. Because generally what long suffering does, there is a relationship with someone else, and they have also pointed out that thing, and you know it, and what do? Well, that's just the way I am, and you're just going to have to live with it. Well, not if we work on ourselves. They don't have to live with it if I'm working on myself. And let me tell you, if I'm working on myself and that other party that whose nerves I'm getting on, and they know I'm working on, I'm working, and he's getting better. He's better than he was. When they see that, then they're going to be a little bit merciful and a little bit long-suffering to me, aren't they? They're going to put up with me a little bit more because what happened? Because they love me, right? And so we have to understand that that's all part of it, all right? Let's go a little farther here. Now, we talk about relationships. First of all, I want to just talk about us, right? So we are made up of three parts, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have a body, and we see that. A soul and a spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to go into a deep discussion about these, but sometimes these don't agree.
Correct.
Right? And the reason that we kind of are at odds with ourselves sometimes, and we're talking about long suffering, is relational. It's if I get in with any person here, the sweetest person, I'm going to have to be long suffering, and you're going to have to be long suffering to me. All right. No matter what kind of relationship we get in, there are going to be some things about you or some things about me that, well, that's just Brother Darrell. You're going to have to just put up with him. Lord bless him. And when you want to pat me on the head, bless his heart. He don't know no better. If he did, he wouldn't do it. And that's true. It's really true. And I'm going to probably be saying the same thing about you. And it's okay. But that's how we live together. But here, now we talked about something that you yourself don't like about yourself. And then you need to do something about it. And you feel like you need to do something about it. Sometimes the body, Jesus said it when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. We preached about that a few weeks ago. He said, what did he say? The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. It doesn't want to do it. There was a disagreement between these two parts of himself. And so as this disagreement brought about some kind of turmoil, and what we tend to do, I want us to understand, we tend to say Jesus conquered it, number one. He conquered it, and he said, you're going to come together. This body is going to submit to the spirit. It is going to do it, and I'm going to pray until it does.
Yeah.
We pray, that's what we said here. It says, anyway, I'll come back to that. But anyway, these two did not agree with each other, and in our own life, they don't agree sometimes. And we have to conquer ourselves. And we have to say, Lord, you have to help me do this, or else we'll do something else. And what we'll do is we'll come to the conclusion that I'm just like this, and you're just going to have to live with it. But that's not being a doer of the work. It's not being a doer of the work. And what you tend to do, even though you yourself don't like it, you tend to be long-suffering with you. Because it's hard. And I've seen in relationships, I've seen in marriages, I had past few weeks, I've had to do some marriage counseling for young people that were going through some difficult things. And what we tend to do in those kind of places is justify the reason that I'm like this. There are reasons that you're like that. And maybe it comes from your childhood. Maybe it's just a trait of your family or whatever. There are reasons like that, but there are no excuses for it.
Right.
There are no justifications for it. Once you know the reasons, then you start working. You start doing the work on yourself because no one else can really do the work on you but you. And when somebody else comes and tries to do the work on you, what do? We get offended. Don't be trying to change me. You work on yourself. And what do? We throw it back at them. Work on yourself. When you get done with that, then you can come and say something to me. That's what we say, right? Lord, have mercy on us. Because what we're doing now is we're being long-suffering with ourselves, because sometimes, this is what I've seen in relationships and doing a lot of marriage counseling, and particularly on the men's side, all right? They try to change the woman. All right, women try to do it to the men too. But the man will call. Look, the Bible says, "Submit yourself to your own husband," and all of these kinds of things. And while I'm working on her, I'll have to work on myself. But I'm telling you, it's a lot harder to work on her. Trust me, I've been there, done that. It's a lot harder to work on her than it is to work on yourself. The only person that I've ever been able to change is me. I have been able to make my children, when they were little, I was able to make them do certain things. But then when they got a certain age, I couldn't make them do it. And what I meant by that, they complied, but I couldn't change their minds. You understand? Necessarily. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So you're long-suffering with you. You're putting up with yourself with some things. That I'm going to read a definition of long-suffering. It is patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. Haven't we done that with ourselves? Aren't we doing that with ourselves? We are. But we're not doing it. We may not be doing it with other people. But when we look at ourselves and we're going through that, we're patiently enduring that hardship and all of that about ourselves, then the Lord says, all right, now I want you to look at your brother. You see, he's struggling. Well, he ain't doing enough. He ain't doing enough, and he ain't doing it fast enough. We say that. But oftentimes what I've learned in my experience is that the Lord just really, really, it ain't all about them. It's just that that's a reflection of something in me that needs to be changed. So you know what? There are actions, and then there are reactions to those actions. So people have actions. They're going to do something. There's actions here. They do something, and then that something that they do affects me, and I react to it, right? And so now I'm upset because of I'm reacting. And then before we know it, if we're not careful, if we don't be long-suffering to this action, to these people action and my reaction, then they're going to react to my reaction. And then I'm going to react to their reaction. And before we know it, we don't even know what we've been fighting about. Right? It's something up here, and that's what needs to be changed. But now we're fighting over minutia, little stuff that doesn't have any kind of matter. This is why the fruit of the Spirit is to suffer long with somebody.
Amen.
If you're suffering long with you, suffer long with somebody else. The reason that you can't get over your issues and your problems and all of these things is because the Lord ain't letting you get over them right now, because you need to learn something. And what you need to learn is to be long-suffering to that brother over there. That's part of that's the undeveloped fruit that many of us have in our spiritual walks. We can't deal with nothing and nobody, and I don't have nothing to do with him anymore. I just writing him off, and I'm checking him out, and I don't have anything to do with that person. And all the while, you're being long-suffering to you.
Yeah.
All right, now, we're going to read a few scriptures here. A few more scriptures. It says, James 5, verse 16.
Confess your faults.
One to another.
And pray.
You ever heard somebody say something about, I need an accountability partner. I need somebody to hold me accountable. I'm struggling on a particular thing. I was talking to somebody not too long ago and said, yes, they need accountability partner. Sometimes we don't need our accountability partner being our partner. All right, because those is where the issues are. So sometimes we need to say, okay, listen, I just need to be able to come and talk to you. I need to be able to share with you what the battles that I'm facing. I need to be able to share those battles with somebody. That's why the Lord gives us a community. That's why he does it, because there's somebody, I can talk to this person about this, but I can't talk to them about that. You understand what I'm saying? There are some things that I can talk to people about, and there are some things I can't talk to that same person about. So it says here, confess your faults one to another. Then it says, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it says here, confess your faults. So that means, brother, if I've got something wrong with me, and I do, it's not sin, but let me tell you, everything that has ever I have learned about myself and the defects in the character and the defects in the areas of my life that are a result of this debilitating disease that I was born with, and there are still the repercussions from it, and even after I've been washed and there's been a blood transfusion and I've been healed from that, there are still repercussions from that, and I have to go to the Lord, and there has never been anything that has been shown to me that I have not worked on. That I have not looked in the mirror and said, there's some level of truth. They didn't have to say it like that. They hurt my feelings. They didn't have to say it like that, but it's true. Now, Lord, how do I change this? What do I do? I've been long-suffering with myself, and now I'm expecting them to be long-suffering with me as well. And now, Lord, what do I do so that they don't have to be so long-suffering with me anymore? Mm-hmm. And the Lord shows you a little bitty, give you a little spark of hope that you can do this. And if you start doing this a little bit different, then it'll get better. And then I do it, and it gets better. Yes. Maybe not a whole lot better, but it does get better. Because sometimes they're reacting to my reactions or my actions, and I don't want to react to their reactions and all that kind of stuff. At some point, it has to stop. Lord, help us. All right? Confess. So it says, you know why we confess something? We take ownership of it. If this is what's wrong with me, I confess my fault. Okay, brother, I'm sorry. I was a little impatient with you the other day, and I apologize for that. Would you forgive me for that? And you say, I'm not going to do that again. That I did it once. I'm not doing it again. And so every time you're walking on eggshells to make sure that you don't do that again. And Lord, and you're asking the Lord, but the Lord to change you. Now, we have this debilitating disease that we were born with, right? And now as a result of that, we have faults. There's something in our DNA that we have faults. We have the insecurities. We have problems. We have all of these things. And what does it say here? It says, pray one for another after you confess your faults. I'm not going to get up here in front and say, okay, y'all, this is what's wrong with me. And let everybody, but there are times that I have to go to somebody and say, listen, I just need help along this line. And then what do? Did you know Brother Daryl told me the other day? Oh, I could hardly believe it. And that's why we don't do that. That's why we don't just tell it to everybody.
That's right.
It says one to another. So I'm going to tell you mine, and you're going to tell me yours. You're going to tell me some things. You're going to open up and be vulnerable to me, and I'm going to be vulnerable to you. Of course, using myself as an example here. I'm going to be vulnerable to you, and you're going to be vulnerable to me, that we're going to get through it. And then what we're going to do, we're going to pray for each other. And they said that you get better. No, that you healed. So do you know that only God can heal? I don't care. You go to the doctor. Doctor can do a whole lot of things. They can cut you open. They can take this out, put this back together. But if that body does not heal itself, it don't matter what they did. But there's something, now they can, what's the word? They can
facilitate.
They can facilitate healing, but they can't heal. They cannot make those cells come back together. And they cannot do anything other than facilitate that healing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you all agree with that?
Yes.
It's true. And so, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So the Lord brings it back together, and he heals it. So this issue that we're having with ourselves, we're praying about faults, my issues, whatever. I am praying that it comes back like it's supposed to come back, and pray that ye be healed. And some people need to be healed. That's why we need, they're sick.
Yeah.
Some people have issues that go way back.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been sick for a long time. They're in sin. Maybe they are not. Some of them are in sin. Some of them are not. If a person is in sin, you need to be long-suffering with them because they are sick.
Yeah.
There's a, Lord brought to me that we have a, and I'm almost done here, we have an advantage. In one sense, Adam and Eve had an advantage over us because they didn't know sin. We have an advantage now because we do know sin and we know its effects. And so when we make the choice of which apple we're going to eat, when we make the choice, we're making the choice with a lot more information than they had, right? It is to the results of sin. And so for a person to steal, and we all did it, for most all of us did it, for us to still make the decision to sin, there's something wrong with us. There's something mentally wrong. Spiritually, there is a sickness. There is something that covers us that we still choose to make. When you know the devil hates you, and you can look at all of these people around you, and he hates you, and you're still going to serve him? There is something wrong with that person. There's something that needs to be healed in their mind. There is something that the enemy has taken and processed and destroyed in their mind. And we're making decisions that somebody, a drug addict or a drunk or something like that, is pleasurable for only a short period of time. And then it's bitter remorse and woe. Lord, have mercy on us. So, long suffering. You're long-suffering with you. Be long-suffering with other people. Be long-suffering with the world. May the Lord help us. I'm going to read another scripture. Okay, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter and said unto the Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until seven times seven. 70 times 7. So what does that mean? 490 times a day? It's not going to happen. Nobody is going to personally... Never say never. But no one is going to personally offend me 490 times in one day because I'm going to remove myself from the situation. All right? If there's all possible, I am going to remove myself from the situation. I'm going to blank them out. But there is something that I've learned over the period of the course of my years that a person can have something that comes. You can have something coming into your mind 490 times a day about something that somebody did. Some time ago, well, I can't believe she did that. And it's constantly barraging you. Forgive them.
Amen.
Forgive them. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. This is Matthew 18, verse 23, 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one of them brought unto him which owed about 10,000 talents, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, be patient with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told the Lord all that was done. And then the Lord after that called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. I forgave it to you just because you wanted me to. And I, out of the goodness and the long suffering of my heart, I forgave it forgave you your debt, which was much more than what this other individual's debt is. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every man his trespasses, but everyone his brother his trespasses. Okay. So in other words, what I want to say in this particular portion. So he owed a debt, went to the Lord, and the Lord forgave him. The Lord's forgiven us of our debt. Some of us have sinned a lot worse than others, right? Sin is sin. Tell a lie and do something, it still take you to hell just like everything else will, right? So, but some were deeper in sin. I didn't get very deep in sin, but I got deep enough, right? And I'm glad I got out of it when it was up to my ankles. I'm glad I got out of it. Don't ever want to go back there. And so this person, took his the Lord forgave him. Now he's going to, and taking somebody by the throat and saying, "I'm not going to be long suffering and forgiving to you," even though God was forgiving, the Lord was forgiving to him. How dare you? How dare us do something like that? How dare us? Lord, have mercy on us. And so, do you realize that your actions and your responses to other brothers of being long suffering affects how long suffering the Lord is to you? Do you realize that? That's what that scripture just brought out. If you're not long suffering and forgiving to your brother, then God is not going to be forgiving to you. So you want God to be gracious and long-suffering and loving to you, then you better be doing the same thing to your brother. Because your response affects God's response to you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Lord, help us. We must be long-suffering to others. We see their faults and their shortcomings, but we love them anyway. And we know that God has made provisions for them and for us to endure, forbear, and suffer long with them, just like God has suffered long with us. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.